This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Bruchim Abom. Good to be back together with everyone. Tonight's share is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Dodi Gross, Le'ilo Nishmas, Mrs. Gross's father, Yeshaya Naftali Hertz Ben Aaron. It's his 21st yard site. Actually, I grew up near him in Flatbush, and even back then he was known as very active in the community, be it whether it was in Flatbush or in the Tag Yeshiva or in the Far Rockaway community. So we wish on this yard site, Neshama Shavan Aliyah, Shiva Melz Yosher, for all his children and grandchildren, for Simchas, Vesoros Tovas, Nachas, Gezint, Arbias Gal Tzadak. Also, if I may, I want to share a good basura. Baruch Hashem, yesterday we went to print on a new sefer in English on the Yom Naram called The Mystery and the Majesty, which was printed yesterday, and Bez Hashem will be available on Tuesday. But if anybody wants to order it, you could go to TorahAnytime.com and you go to the speaker page and you click on, and you get free delivery now. So if you want a free delivery, you could order the sefer. But Bez Hashem will try to have it next week, Wednesday. So Baruch Hashem, through Art Scroll. And Siyata Deshmaya, Kishem, Shezchalti V'Siyamti, Sefer Zu, Kach Ezga, Lilmoid Olalame, Lishrav Alasais. Okay, so Parshas Re'eh. So the interesting thing about Parshas Re'eh, now, just a point of fact, the letters Resh Aleph He are actually one of the names of Hashem. Because we've mentioned many times, there are 72 different names of Hashem. So name about number 69 is Resh Aleph He. Okay, and Parshas Re'eh enjoys the distinction that it is always the parsha that is read on Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, and sometimes even Rosh Chodesh Elul. Now, you say, okay, well, Re'eh doesn't necessarily have a connection to Chodesh Elul. As we know, the Gemara doesn't say that you have to lay in any specific parsha at any specific time of the year. There are only certain parshas that have to be laid at certain times of the year. For example, the Chukaisai has to be read before Shavuos, and Kisavai has to be laid before Rosh Hashanah. But all the other parashas, you know how it is. Sometimes it could fall out in the beginning of the month, sometimes the end of the month. But there's a rule that the Shla HaKadosh teaches us, and that is that whenever a parsha comes out, it's always appropriate to that time of the year. So we always have the right to say, you know, what does Parshas Miketz have to do with Hanukkah? Or what does Parshas Tetzaveh have to do with Purim? So too, we have the right to ask, what is the connection between Parshas Re'eh and the month of Elul? So a very interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Beis, and the Beis Gemara says that when Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha threw Hanani Mishav Azariah into the burning fire, so Hashem said to Yechezkel, you know, I had enough. Go revive the dead, go resurrect the dead, in the valley of Dura. So he brought them back to life. And these bones came, and the bones actually smacked Nebuchadnezzar on his face. So Nebuchadnezzar says, what's going on over here? Who are these bones? So they told Nebuchadnezzar, the friends of these bones, meaning Hanani Mishav Azariah, the friend of Hanani Mishav Azariah, are bringing the dead back to life in the valley of Dura. So Nebuchadnezzar chapta hespailas. Nebuchadnezzar was very impressed. And he said, Asohi kamaravravin, the wonders of God, the signs of God, how great they are. The simohi and his wonders, kamatakifin, how powerful they are. Malchusei malchus alam, his kingdom is a kingdom forever. Vishultane imdar vadar, and his dominion is for all generations. So Nebuchadnezzar, you know, it's pretty good. It's like almost like Ashrei. You know, he put together a nice little poem over there. To the point where the Gemara says we need to pour gold, molten gold down Nebuchadnezzar's throat. Because, meaning stop him. It says, Gemara, had an angel not come and stopped Nebuchadnezzar dead in his tracks, then he would have put to shame the whole Sefer Tehillim. He was on such a roll. He was, sometimes you go to somebody for a bracha, and you can't believe how this guy, all of a sudden he became a big rebbe, he's gushing with the brachas. So, you know, the same Nebuchadnezzar was on such a roll that had he continued, he would have put Sefer Tehillim to shame. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Comes the Mishnah Melech. Now, the Mishnah Melech is a classic commentary on the Rambam. But the Mishnah Melech did something revolutionary. And that is, we could say that until the Mishnah Melech, you know, a guy like me owes a big debt of gratitude to the Mishnah Melech. Because before the Mishnah Melech came along, either you learned Halacha or you learned Agadata. right? But there's no such thing as learning Agadata like Bederech Pilpal. You know, that concept, that genre did not exist. The Mishnah Melech made it that you could learn Agadata Bederech Pilpal. Like, you can make a shir. You're allowed to analyze Agadata in an analytic way. Tell him, you know, you can learn a sugya analytically, and you can learn Agadata that it's, you know, it's Agadata. Ein lanu elo, it is what it says. Mishnah Melech wrote the famous sefer Parshas Drachim. Parshas Drachim treats Agadata like halacha. And from him branched off, you know, all the svarim of the Achronim, whether it's, you know, the Meshech Chachmara or the Ragachav or all the Rabbi Yonah Sinaibish, it's all these svarim that we have that deal in Agadata in an analytic way. In a way, the father of it is the Parshas Drachim, Rabbi Yehuda Rosenes. He lived from 1657 to 1727. So he wants to know, first of all, why did God choose that moment that when Nebuchadnezzar threw Hanani Mishael Azariah into the Kivshan Ha'ish to be Mechaye Mesim? You know, it's Hashem saved the life of Hanani Mishael Azariah, but why at that moment is he reviving the dead in the Valley of Dura? Furthermore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin continues, who are these dead people that Hanani Mishael Azariah resurrect? Now I'll tell you a little thing about this book that so I had this chapter in the book. It's called Personal Resurrection and the Resurrection of the Dead. I tell you about this? So art school didn't let me put it in, the name of the chapter, because you can't use the word resurrection. Resurrection is too biblical. I don't have a problem with biblical, you know? Whatever, they use it, but I'm not allowed to use it. Resurrection means chiyas ha-mesim. But no, it's too Christian, maybe too. So I said, what word should I use? Revivify. I said, there's such a word, revivify it? No, we coined the word in place of resurrection. But I think actually there is a word, revivify. So that's why the title of the share was The Revivification of the Dead. But that's in honor of the new book. But anyway, but in the share, I'm not beholden to that. We're going to use resurrection. Now I'm a free man, you know? So the question is, what? No, it's right, revivify means to bring back to life. Tchias HaMesim. It's revivify and revivification. Yeah? There you go. So you learned some English also. So that's a good one. Okay, so the Gemara says, who are these dead that Yechezkel brought back to life? So the Gemara brings various opinions. Gemara says maybe the Bnei Ephraim who got out of Egypt early. Remember we talked about that a little while ago. They left 30 years early. Shmuel says, you know who they were? These are people who denied Tchias HaMesim. They were heretics. They were Kofer and Tchias HaMesim. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, these are people that have no moisture of mitzvah. They're so empty of mitzvah, they don't even have what is called the lachluchis of mitzvah. They don't even have a gefil for a mitzvah. You know, not only do they not wear a talis, they don't even wear that scarf, you know? Not only do they not cover their hair, they don't even wear a doily. You know, what's a doily? You're not mekayim anything. It just is like a token gesture that it's not that I'm not goyris the inyan. The inyan exists. I'm not ready to keep it. You know, they don't even have lachluchis of a mitzvah. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says these are people who covered the heichal with shkatzim and ramasim, with crawly, creepy creatures, meaning they defiled and defamed the kodesh hakodashim. So the Parsha Drachim wants to know, why is Ribbono Shel Olam choosing to resurrect these people? You know, if you want to resurrect somebody, the Gemara, by the way, has very, not everybody who gets Olam Haba gets Tchias HaMesim. You know, for a mitzvah you do, you're going to get Olam Haba, but for Tchias HaMesim, the Gemara says somebody who dealt in ribbis won't be resurrected, someone who's a Baal Gaiva won't be resurrected, only someone who learns Torah will be resurrected. Resurrection has a higher standard. And here, yeah, who's the Ribbono Shel Olam resurrecting? People who have no lachluchas of mitzvah, people who did not believe in Tchias HaMesim. I mean, the Perek Chelek opens up. Who gets Tchias HaMesim? Only if you believe in it. That's the first sugya in Chelek. Right? It says in the Mishnah, the following don't have Olam Haba. Ha'imer ain't Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. And yet in this instance, who does Ribbono Shel Olam resurrect, revivify? People who don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, people who defamed and defiled the Heichal. Marv Rabbeisai, let's come to the davening of the Yom Naram, Rosh Hashanah davening in Shofaros. We say like this: Ki ata shohimea kohol shofar umazin teruah v'ein doimelach Baruch atah Adonai Hashem, Shomea Kol Shirazama Yisrael Berachamim. Okay, so we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you hear the sound of the shofar, and you're attentive to the trua, V'ein doy melech. Ain't no one like you. Which is true, there's no one like Hashem, but it's a random statement. There's no sheiches. You could say the words V'ein doy melech in any tefillah of the entire siddur. You could insert the words V'ein doy melech. Adonai Olam Asher Malach V'ein doy melech. Matoy V'olech Yaakov V'ein doy melech. Asher Kedushanu M'mitzoyis V'tzivanu Lasoik B'Divrei Torah V'ein doy melech. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. I mean, you want to say Ein Doy Melech, you could say it anywhere. Why do they randomly, like, you know, it's like they had a dart, and the Chachamim closed their eyes, then they said, where should we throw the words Ve'ein Doy Melech? Oh, look where it landed. It landed in Min Drinan in the Bracha of Shofaris. I mean, there's a rule that you need Me'ein HaChasima Samach LeChasima. Right before you say the Baruch Atah Hashem, the end of the Bracha has to be similar to what it says Baruch Atah Hashem. So it should say, Ki Atah Shemea Kol Shofar, Umazin Shrua, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Kol Shrua Samay Sobran. Why are we randomly throwing in Ve'in Doy Melech? And the answer is, I saw in the Sefer Oz Yashar, written by my dear friend Rav Moshe Shward, who was a Chashev Talmid Chacham in Kew Garden Hills. He wrote a very beautiful Sefer Oz Yashar, that he heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro, that the words Umi Doy Melech have a very specific connotation. Umi Doy Melech always refers to a specific ability of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mi chamaycha ba'al gevurais, umi doy melech. That what? Melech meimisu mechaya. That means when we say umi doy melech, it refers to God's incomparable ability to revivify the dead. I mean, God could do a lot of things. There are many miracles Hashem could do. I'll tell you one miracle. A baby in utero doesn't breathe, right? The mother breathes, and the oxygen goes directly into the baby's bloodstream. So the question is, typically, how do we get oxygen in the blood? The air, the blood goes into one side of the heart, into the atrium, into the ventricle. Then it pumps the blood up to the lungs, and the oxygen then goes into the blood, and then the blood goes back to the other side of the heart. But a baby doesn't breathe. So in a baby, would the blood go be pumped up to the lungs? The answer is no. In a baby, the blood is not pumped up to the lungs. So what happens in the baby? There's a hole in the baby's heart. And the blood goes from one side of the heart to the other and doesn't go to the lungs. Now, once you're born, how long could you live with a hole in your heart? So what happens? Hashem makes a nest, and the baby comes out, and he breathes, and he cries, and it creates pressure, and the pressure seals up the hole. And now, the blood is pumped to the lungs. But that's a great ability that Hashem has, but that's not Ein Doy Melech. Maybe that could be mimicked, replicated, but one thing cannot be replicated, the ability to resurrect the dead. Mi chamaycha ba'al gvurus mi doy melech? What? Melech mei mesum chaya. Or, here's another example. Ein karkach, avein zu azaref, es botach mi doy melech. Ein karkach, avein zu azaref, yein zu los chamakeinu, l'chaye oylam haba. What does it mean? So again, we see in davening, whenever Ve'in Doy Melech appears, it means no one is like you, Ribbono Shel Olam, that you revive the dead. There is no other example of Ein Doy Melech other than Tchiyas HaMesim. So in that case, what's it doing in Shofaris? The Shechina.
What?
The Shechina.
And that's Lashon HaKeva?
Yeah. You want to toss me a battery from there? Yeah, why not Ein Doy Melech? Why not Ein Doy Melecha?
Yes. Why not Ein Doy Melecha?
I guess the Shechina.
Yeah?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What?
Tonight's a female.
Yeah?
Okay. Fine. So, weiter. So let's analyze this. What exactly is the kind of what is the connection between Tchiyas HaMesim and Shofar? We come to the Torah. Marv Rabbeisai, the Torah says something very interesting. The Torah says that most people, if they're being tried for a capital case, they're not going to wear fancy clothing, they're not going to dress up, They're not going to shower. They're not going to groom. They're not going to cut their nails. They're too distracted. They're too immersed in their case to worry about personal hygiene and personal grooming. And yet, the Torah says, Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, we haircut, we cut our nails, we trim, we wear fresh clothing, and even on Rosh Hashanah, we eat, we drink wine. How could that be? Aren't we about to stand in judgment? So the Torah says as following, in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, look at these words of the Torah. Lefi sheyoidin shehakadosh baruch hu yaseh lohem neis. We know that God will make a miracle for us. Lefikach noyagin lesaper, therefore the minhag is to groom, ulechabes, and to launder on Erev Rosh Hashanah, ulaharbois manois for Rosh Hashanah, and to give out shalach manos on Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about that last year, shalach manos on Rosh Hashanah. Fine. And therefore, from here we learn you're not to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But look at the words of the Torah. We are confident that God will make a miracle for us. So aside from the fact that it's very difficult to understand what kind of confidence we have in the din, after all, we know what kind of confidence. Everyone shudders. Mi yichyeh mi yamos. What kind of confidence? Who could possibly be confident? But what does the Torah mean? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a miracle for us. What miracle? What miracle happens on Rosh Hashanah? There's a miracle that takes place? The Torah should say, we know what the outcome of the din is. Why does the Torah use a language? We're confident that a miracle would happen. So I found a very interesting tshuva. In the Shas Tshuvas, Halachos Ketanos. Does anybody know, do we say Halal on Rosh Hashanah? No. Why not? So Gemara says, with the books of the living and the dead open, how could you say Halal? But the Halachos Ketanos asks, what's the Havamina to say Halal? How could you entertain the possibility that we should say Halal? We only say Halal when a miracle happens. What miracle happens on Rosh Hashanah? That the Gemara asks, why don't we say Halal? It's not like Chanukah. Chanukah, they have the miracle of oil. Purim, our lives were saved. On Rosh Hashanah, there's no miracle, so why would the Gemara ask that we should say Halal? And the answer is, with a halacha, if you go 30 days without seeing your friend, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Siman Reish Chaf Hei, you make a bracha. What bracha do you make? Shehachiyanu. Why? Baruch Hashem, the guy's still alive. Now, we don't make this bracha anymore, because we will assume that if a guy won't be alive, we'll hear about it. We have enough modes of communication that most people know within milliseconds of everything that happens in this world. You know, people think, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and nobody's going to know. The whole world is going to know within 1 second every single thing that you do. There are pictures in the sneakers that you buy. The government already put cameras. They're watching everything you do, okay? You can't even, everything, every piece of paper, you wipe your hands. Or the government has your fingerprints now. It's already logged in now for the rest of your life. You're not getting away with anything anymore, right? But so nowadays we don't make the bracha of Shehachiyanu. But it says the Shulchan Aruch, Vayter. And if 12 months pass and you didn't see your friend, you make the bracha Mechaye HaMesim. Why? Why do you make the bracha Mechaye HaMesim? Says the Marsha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Marsha. Because if you didn't see him in 12 months, then this guy passed through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that means the guy survived Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And therefore the proper bracha to make is Mechaye HaMesim. So you'll ask, but Tchiyas HaMesim is not happening on Rosh Hashanah. What's happening is that we're alive, and we're asking Ribbono Shel, keep me alive. We're asking Ribbono Shel, I have money in the bank now. I have nachas for my children. I'm alive. Do me a favor. Stay out of my business another year. Keep things the same as they were. That's what many people have an attitude. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? Ribbono Shel, I have everything I need. Just keep it that way. Don't look at my repertoire. But we learn from this halacha that's not what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. It's not the pshat that when you stand on Musaf Rosh Hashanah, you're alive. And you're asking Moshe Shalom, keep me alive. The pshat is when you're standing Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, you're standing as a mess. The year is over. The lease is over. The lease is up. You're a ke'ilu mace. And what the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do is not that he has to extend the lease. He has to resuscitate you, resurrect you, revivify you. He has to bring you back to life. And therefore, if you see your friend after 12 months, you don't say, I'm happy you're still alive. No, you say, I'm happy you were brought back to life. Baruch atah Hashem, mechaye hameisim. There's no status quo. The Achrayim ask. Rav Eizel al-Kharif asks an amazing question. You know, the Gemara brings a day that Rav Yossi says, Adam nidain b'chol yom, a person's judged every day. So if a person's judged every day, so what do you make this big deal about Rosh Hashanah? The same thing happens every day. Everyone comes Rosh Hashanah shuckling. People even put on a white yarmulke, and people, they wear a kittel, and they get a little scared. The same thing happens every day. What's a nafgamina? What? Every day we're happy we're back here. The answer is, says the Rav Eizel al-Kharif, every day we have presumptive status. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm alive today. The onus is on you to come up with a reason to take away what I have. Comes Rosh Hashanah, we don't have anything. There's nothing in the account. It's not the pshat, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have a job. I need to keep my job this year. I need to keep my family this year. I need to keep my... No, you have nothing. Ribbono Shel Olam, please grant me, bestow upon me life, bestow upon me a source of parnasa, bestow upon me a family, bestow upon me all the gifts that I had last year, which I no longer have, give me again. Says Shalos Tshuvas Halachas Katanois, you know what miracle occurs on Rosh Hashanah every year? It's a miracle! You know what the miracle is? The greatest miracle of all! Tchiyas HaMesim! Every Rosh Hashanah, God literally revives us. It's the biggest day of miracle the whole year.
So does this prophet still apply?
No. Because you don't have to make it, because you know the guy was brought back to life. Because otherwise you would have heard about it. But in principle, the proper bracha would be Mechaye HaMesim, because in essence he was resurrected. It's just, we know that he was resurrected.
Why 12 months? Why not just for a
resurrection? Because people are not so smart. People can't cheshbon. When the last time? This way you know for sure the guy went Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's what the Marsha says.
So why don't we say
Hallel? That's the Gemara's Kasha, and the Gemara's answer is it's not a time for Hallel because the books of the living and the books of the dead are open. But in principle, there is a Chiyuv of Hallel. In fact, the Rav Shlomo Hyman, Rav Shiva of Tarvadas, would say over that he learned in Radin by Rav Naftali Trapp. And every year, by Slichas, Rav Naftali Trapp would get up, and Lel Slichas, he would say, that what do we say in the Slichas? Kedalim uchirashim dafakno delasecha, like a poor man, we knock on your door. Meaning, here you have a guy, he's worth mega millions. This guy is on Forbes top 10 list. And yet, when he stands on Rosh Hashanah, he stands like a poor man. Because the pshat is, he recognizes that you don't stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with any presumptive status on anything you have. You have no money in your account. You have no source of livelihood. You stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam like an uneven evyon, asking not to renegotiate the lease, asking to write up a new lease. This is not a contract extension. The pshat is you're a free agent. And there's only one team that could sign you, and they have to decide whether they're going to sign you or not. That's how we view a Rosh Hashanah. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, quoting the Sefer Oz Yashir, that's the pshat in the bracha of Shofaros, why Chazal, in order to elicit this type of emotional response, they put in the words that refer to one ability of Hashem, and that is Tchiyas HaMesim. Ki ata shemea kol shofar, umazin trua, v'ein doy melach. We're referring to Ribbono Shel Olam's ability to be Mechaye Mesim. Yeah? So now it comes out something very beautiful. Because if I were to ask you, what is the central historical event that we try to invoke on Rosh Hashanah? What's chus for in our history do we bring up? Akedah. What do we lay in the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Akedah, the Gemara says. Why do we build a shofar of an ayol? Why not of a kangaroo, let's say?
That's
right?
What? That's what they grab.
Because to remember the Isle of Yitzchak. Why do we say Tashlich at a river? By the way, it's Tama Halacha. You know how to feed the ducks on Yom Tov, you know that. That's, you know. What? The wild ducks. If you own a duck, if you have a pet duck, yes, if you have a pet duck and you take your pet duck to Tashlich, you may feed your pet duck. But if it's a wild duck, can't do it. Also, if you have a pet fish that you carry with you to Tashlich, you could feed it. But the fish in the river, I'll tell you a story. In Queens, Eschatoy Ani Mazkar Yom, you know, as a rabbi, it's very busy Yom Naram. So, you know, you have until when? Hoshana Rabbah. So one time I went very late to Tashlich. It was Erev Hoshana Rabbah. And I looked in the pond. There were literally thousands of fish. And they were all dead. And I realized I really came very late this year, you know? Imagine how many chatah. So you want to get the fish while they're still alive, you know? But anyway, yeah. So you know, you don't feed the wild fish, you don't feed the wild ducks. But why do we go to a river? So the Maharil writes, and the Rama quotes the Maharil, because when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah, the Satan came and masqueraded as a river. Now I tell you a chiddush nifla. What's pshat in kaparas? If you do it with the chicken. So the original custom was not to use a chicken. The Meiri says the original custom was to use an ayal. So what's going on? Here's the guy. He does averos. He talks by Chazar Sashatz, and now the poor chicken has to die? Why does the chicken have to suffer? Because this guy wants to talk by davening. I don't understand. The answer is we never used chickens. We used an ayal. What? And the pshat is to remember Akedas Yitzchak, when Avram Avinu said, let the ayal be in lieu of Yitzchak. That's where Kaparas comes from, says Meiri. Says Meiri, original Kaparas was done on Rosh Hashanah, not before Yom Kippur. Very interesting. Well, look in the Shulchan Aruch. What kind of head should you use for the simanim? An ayal. An ayal. Now, I don't know. You could get that? Where? This shear is brought to you by Gourmet Glatt. You could get the head of an ayal? Okay, I didn't know that. So, okay. So, Marav Rabbeisai, why is the Akedah so central? How much does it cost? Why does this... Get me one, save me one, right? Why is the Akedah so central to Rosh Hashanah? So you'd say it happened on Rosh Hashanah. It did? Mehechitesi, it happened on Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Gemara it happened on Rosh Hashanah. There are many Midrashim that say it happened on Yom Kippur. The Medrash Rabbah says it didn't even happen in Tishrei. It says in the Medrash Rabbah, B'tesvav b'nisan nigalumi mitzrayim, b'tesvav nisan asin ligol, and b'nisan it was Akedas Yitzchak. So could someone tell me, if the Akedah was a Nisan, why do we need to remember the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah? What does Akedah got to do with Rosh Hashanah? It's a zchus. Is it the biggest zchus that we ever had? So, you know, it's also a big zchus that Moshe gave us the Torah. Like, what's the... So you say it's a very big schus, but like the whole Rosh Hashanah revolves around the Akedah. The laning, the shofar, the tashlich, the kaparos, the simanim. So Rabbi Schwert and his Savior has a very beautiful thought. It says like this. Where does Tchias HaMeisim come from? Despite what they told you in Yeshiva, that when Avram Avinu went to the Akedah, and the voice came out, Menas Shemaim, don't touch him! And Yitzchak said, Shoo, Baruch Hashem, Abba. I'm really glad that I heard the voice. And Yitzchak got up and, you know, he went and he got married. That's not what happened. All the Midrashim say Yitzchak was killed. All the Midrashim. It doesn't mean Avram shechted him, but if you look, I have over here three Midrashim. The Medrash says, the Shibbol Aleket brings down, that the brachas of Shemona Esrei are a historical account. That when Avram Avinu was thrown into the fire in Ur Kasdim, when he emerged, he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. And then when Yitzchak was killed at the Akedah, says the Medrash, he became ashes, and his ashes were strewn about Har HaMoriah. And then the Ribbono Shel did what to him? He revivified him, he resurrected him. And what bracha did they make? Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechayei HaMeisim. That's why the first bracha of Shemona Esrei is Keneged Avraham. The second bracha is Keneged Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was the one who experienced Chias HaMeisim. Look in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that when the sword went on Yitzchak's neck, it hit Yitzchak on the neck, and he died. And then Yitzchak was brought back to life, and Yitzchak says, hey, there is Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. And he said the bracha, Baruch HaTorah Hashem Mechayei HaMeisim. I mean, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh uses this Pirkei Avos in like five places. Right? Before the Akedah, it's always V'hinei Ben Lasara, V'hinei Ben Lasara, V'hinei Ben Lasara. And after the Akedah, it's Yitzchak Ben Avraham. Right? Everybody knows that what happened, he had the neshama of an akeva, and he couldn't have children, and then his neshama left, and he had the neshama of a zachar afterwards. That's based on the fact that he died at the Akedah. So, So what's the source of Tchiyas HaMeisim? How do we know there's a concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim? From the Akedah! What's the essence of Rosh Hashanah? It's not a day that we have an extension of life. It's a day when the Rebbeinu Shem literally is mechayeyas. It's the day of Tchiyas HaMeisim. What's the makar? What's the shayrish of Tchiyas HaMeisim? How does this world have the right to access this great miracle? Through Akedas Yitzchak. That's why Akedas Yitzchak is the principle, is the foundation of Rosh Hashanah. That's the source of Tchiyas HaMeisim in this world.
Rashi says it's from
Az Yashir. Yeah, Rashi's... Because it's not mentioned explicitly. Rashi is going on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Because we need to know, where does it say in the Chumash, Tchiyas HaMeisim? So Rashi says, Oz, past tense, Yashir, future. So that's a indication in the Pasuk. But this Tchiyas HaMeisim, there's no mention in the Chumash. Right? It's all... Don't kill it. Don't literally slaughter him.
He was.
He either died of fright, or he did. He died. You know, that's what the Medrash says.
Yeah,
the Medrash in the Shibboleth Lek, it says he became ashes on the sixth line, seventh line. V'aya afarei mushlach al har Maria. So that's one concept of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there's a physical Tchiyas HaMeisim, and this is a very poignant thought, that when you dive in the Shemona Esrei, when you stand before the Rebbeinu Shem on Rosh Hashanah, don't get too comfortable and say, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's been a good year, Rebbeinu Shem, keep it that way. The Sefer Oz Yosher brings down from the Ari, that no year does Rebbeinu Shem issue more than 1 year. Meaning, it's not the Pshat Rebbeinu Shem, so this Reb Yid, you're going to live until you're 153. Hashem doesn't give more than 1 year at a time. When you stand on Rosh Hashanah, you stand before Rebbeinu Shem as a mess, as an ani, as a choyle, with nothing, an ani ve'evion, completely bereft. Not Rebbeinu Shem, continue my life. Rebbeinu Shem, resurrect me. There's another interesting thing here. Rav Shneur Kotler of Aaron Kotler would say over every year, Kafachayim. Kafachayim says the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur correspond to the Mem Yom Shel Yitzuras Havlad, the 40 days of the formation of a fetus. We know once the fetus is 40 days old, it just gets bigger. But from day 1 to day 40, it develops, right? The heart is developing, the lungs are developing, the organs are developing, the gender is developing. You know, I don't think science has come up with a way to incubate a baby before day 40. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, the baby has to develop in a woman, has to develop in me'imai. Otherwise, there's no way for the organs, for the body to develop. Once it's 40 days, so now we just need a comfortable environment for the baby to grow. Imagine if somebody would say, you know, let's skip one of the days of the 40 days of the development of the baby. So the child won't come out to be a shalim. Might be missing a limb, might be missing an organ. Likewise, the Rav Shneur Kotler would say, you know, it's Zion Elul. I'll take a day off. I'll give up today. I'll make it up Hanukkah time. The whole year is dependent on it. The whole year's creation is being determined, is being formed. In other words, this fits very well into the concept of Rosh Hashanah. We're literally being recreated. And this is a 40-day recreation process, which begins Rosh Chodesh Elul and is complete on Yom Kippur. We're being reborn again for the upcoming year. And it's not enough we had a good Yom Narum last year. Every year we need to put in the energy, put in the focus. Rav Yeruch HaMoshen quotes a very beautiful medrash. The medrash says in the pasuk in Tehillim, if you look at number 20, the pasuk says, "Tikasev zois ladar acharoin, v'am nivra yahalelka." Write this for the last generation, and the people created will praise God. What does it mean? The people created, says the medrash, that when we stand and daven before Hashem Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we stand before Hashem, kemesim b'maaseyem, we're dead. Not physically, the Medrash is referring to. We're spiritually dead. We need to stand before the Rebbeinu Shem, having in mind that we're not considered alive in our actions. Like the Gemara says in Brachos, Rishoyim b'chayeyem nikram mesim. We have to say, Rebbeinu Shem, we don't even deserve the status of being chayim spiritually. We need you to... So now it comes out, listen to this. We need Tchiyas HaMeisim physically. We need to, we say to Ribbon Shem, revivify us, resurrect us physically, resurrect us spiritually. We're like dead spiritually. So Merv Raboisai, tshuva is analogous to what? What is tshuva like? What phenomenon that only the Ribbon Shem could do is tshuva like? Tchias HaMesim. Tshuva is no less than Tchias HaMesim. It's a spiritual Tchias HaMesim. On Rosh Hashanah, we go through physical Tchias HaMesim. If you see your friend after Rosh Hashanah, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMesim. But we also go through a spiritual Tchias HaMesim. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, every day when you say the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMesim, you know what you should think? Ribbono Shel, I need physical Tchias HaMesim and help me do tshuva. Because since a Rosh is considered a mess, and the only way I could be considered spiritually viable is through tshuva. Tshuva is literally tchias hamesim. The kavana to do tshuva, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, is a chiddush. You would have thought the kavana to do tshuva is in the bracha hashivenu avinu l'sar osecha. No, the kavana to do tshuva is in the bracha of mechaye hamesim. That's a very good question. But Reb Tzadok, we'll have to deal with that sometime. There are a few answers to that. Okay, it's a good question. If you want, if you, I want it, but I'm.
I should want to do tshuva, or you can't just plant it. In other words, give me this yad shmaya, then I should want.
Yeah, yeah, and help me do it. Help me do it. I want to do it. Help me remove the manios. But Reb Tzadok HaKohen has a beautiful idea. Eliyahu HaNavi has two jobs. Wait a second, a malach can't do two jobs. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to usher in the era of the resurrection of the dead. And Eliyahu HaNavi is also going to usher in the era of tshuva. How could an angel do two jobs? Ein malach oisa shtei shlichus. The answer is one job. Tchias HaMesim and tshuva are synonymous. Yeah, they're synonymous. They're the same process. One is physical resurrection, one is spiritual resurrection. That's another subject. Who's Eliyahu HaNavi? There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer, yeah? Depends what he's doing. There are two Eliyahu HaNavis. Okay. By the way, I added that in, that an angel can't do two jobs. But the way Reb Tzadok HaKohen asks it is, does he have two separate jobs? He doesn't word it that way, that a malach can't do two shlichos. I added that. Okay? But it comes out then, Marv Raboisai, that there's this concept that, and, by the way, do you remember the famous Yushalmi? There's only one person in the world who could do Tchias HaMesim. Who's that? God. Remember the Yushalmi? The Yushalmi said, they asked the Chachamim, what should someone who does an Avera do? Chachamim said, what should he do? He can't do anything. He should die. And they asked the prophets, what should somebody who sinned do? The Nevi'im said, nothing. He should die. And they asked the Torah, what should somebody who sinned do? And the Torah says, nothing to do. Maybe he could bring a carbon. And they asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says he could do tshuva. Indicating that even the Nevi'im don't understand tshuva. They can't give the advice to the tshuva. Even the Chachomim don't understand. Even the Torah doesn't say to do tshuva. According to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Because just like Tchias HaMesim, that's only in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so too tshuva is only in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Raboisai said, this is an amazing thought. Who's the Navi of tshuva? Who tells even a Gentile city, that even though you deserve to be overturned, you could repent? He didn't even want to go because he felt that if he's going to tell them to do tshuva, they're going to get off the hook. Who are we talking about? Yoina. Who's Yoina? He's the son of Isha Shunamis. What happened to him, says the Malbim? He died. And who brought him back to life? Eliyahu. Who's the first person in Tanakh who was brought back to life that it says? What? The Amana, excuse me, he's the son of the Amana, not the Isha Shemas, the son of the Amana, yeah? Eliyahu. So the Sefer Razi Diyana says, is, you think it's a coincidence that the first person mentioned in Tanakh who had personal Tchias HaMesim is the Navi of Tshuva? In other words, he's telling the world, if you think you're so dead, you think you're so down and out, you think you're such a rut, you're like a mess, and it's beyond repair. You know, it's one thing if somebody's still hanging on, you could you could do CPR. But once someone's dead, you can't bring them back. So says Yaina, no, Yaina is the only one who could tell the world you could be dead spiritually, and you're never dead. There's a concept of spiritual Tchias HaMisa. Okay. Right. I mean, how were they able to do it? Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'll show you a piece in the Leshem, where the Leshem asked that question, that if only God could do Tchias HaMesim, so how could these people do it? So it's through the Koyach of God. Yeah, it's through the Ribbono Shel Olam. The same Elio did it. How could Elio do it, you know? So do respond to the Shir. So we're talking about Koyhanim a little bit. Okay, we're going to come full circle. There's a Medrash. It's also a Gemara. What?
The one that resurrected, revived the son of the Shunammis was Elisha.
No, so I say the son, look in the Malbim at number 25. That Yoina ben Amitai, he was the son of the Almana that Eliyahu, that supported Eliyahu. When Eliyahu needed a place to stay, there are two people in Tanakh who are Mechaye Mesim. Eliyahu and Elisha. By Eliyahu it says, Vayimoided. There are two times in Nevi'im where Nevi'im were Mechaye Mesim. Nowhere in Chumash except for Yitzchak, which is not explicit. In the Nevi'im you have Eliyahu and Elisha. So Elisha was the Isha Shunamis, that's what Gabi said, and the Almana was Eliyahu. And Yoina was the son of the Almana. That's what the Malbim says. Marv Raboisai, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, and the Yalkut Shemoni says, that in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, the Jewish people had thrown in the towel. They gave up hope. They said like this, if you're an Eved of a master, and the master sells you, is there any hope to ever reconcile with your master? I mean, if you're an Eved of a master, what are you? You're a table. So you have a relationship with your master. If your master owns you, if your master sells you, so you don't have a relationship with the master anymore. So Klal Yisrael said, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us away in Golos. He gave us to Nebuchadnezzar. They were going to serve idols. So we have an unbelievable thing. An Apikoros came to Rabbi Avo. And the Apikoros said, you're God. Is he a Kohen, a Levi, or a Yisrael? After all, if you're a Gaba, you need to know, what Aliyah do you give the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the Apikoros said, God's a Kohen, obviously. Right? How do we know? It's a pasuk. V'yikchu li truma. God says, give me truma. So if God's a Kohen, then the kasha is like this. When God buried Moshe, which mikvah did he use? The Bell's mikvah wasn't around yet, right? So how did God fit in the mikvah? That was the shaila. So you said, that's Apikorsa's dika shaila. God's not a Kohen, he doesn't go to the mikvah. No. God is a Kohen, and he does go to the mikvah. So the Kshayla is what? So the Gemara says, Elamai Yidu. No, the waters in the ocean are too small to fit God. So the Gemara answers, he was Toivel and Esh. You could be Toivel and Esh also. Frek Toisvis. The Gemara should have asked better. God's a Kayin. Not what was he Toivel in? How is he allowed to be Matami to Moshe Rabbeinu? So I would have answered, Lo Yada Eshes Kfurasu, so he's a Meis Mitzvah. Taisus doesn't give that answer. Taisus answers, Bonim atem l'shem l'kecha. Bonim atem l'shem l'kecha. Rameir. Bonim atem l'shem l'kecha.
Yeah?
Bonim atem l'shem l'kecha. Says the Parshas Drachim, an amazing pilpul. What did Nebuchadnezzar think that he could get Klal Yisrael to serve Avodah Zarah in the first place? He thought like Klal Yisrael. They're his avadim. And God sold the Eved to him. So the relationship to God has terminated. And God is not Malchus Kalaylamim, and it's not a Memshal to Chabachal Darvadar, because his Malchus and Memshal is only as long as the Jews are Oysen Ritzon Hashem Makayim. But ain't Oysen Ritzon Hashem Makayim, then we're not only not Bonim, we're not even avadim, because God sold us. So how's the Ribbono Shel Olam going to demonstrate that even when we're sold to the Goyim, we're still the Bonim of Hashem? Now, if we're a Ben, the relationship of a Ben can never terminate. Because even if your kids don't behave, they're still related to you. You can never terminate being an Av. So the Parshas Drachim says like this. There's a Medrash The Medrash says that God showed us great chiba when he took us out of Mitzrayim. How? Because Mitzrayim was a makam tinoifas. Mitzrayim was a makam tumah. Says the Medrash, God's a kayin. Says the Medrash, how did God take us out of Mitzrayim? But ain bayis hasha ain shamis. How did God kill the Mitzrayim? He's a kayin, the Medrash asks. Before Matan Torah, huh? If Avram kept the Torah before it was given, then for sure God did. A guy is only not matame ba'oyo, but b'maga kohen. How do you kill a guy? How do you kill the mitzvah without touching him? That's what the Medrash asks. So you would have said he could have sent a malach. Now listen to the. Okay, one second. Okay, good. This is perfect. Says the Medrash, you know what it's like when God had to take us out of Mitzrayim? It's like a kohen who's standing out of a Beis HaKvaris and his truma fell into the Beis HaKvaris. So the kohen has a dilemma. I can't leave the truma there. Truma's not to remain tameh. But I can't take it. I'm not going to become tameh. So the halach is the kohen goes in, is metameh himself, and he rescues the tuma, and then he's toivel. Don't try that at home, but that's what the Medrash says. So likewise, God in Mitzrayim, he's like, I'm a Kohen, the Jews are my Truma, right? We were called Rishas Tvuasa. So God said, I can't leave them there, they're becoming Tami, but I can't get them because I'm a Kohen. So God temporarily went in to rescue his Truma. So the Achroinim ask, why didn't God just send the Shliach in? So the Medrash says he can't, because it says, Ani Hashem, Ani V'loi Malach, Ani V'loi Sarah. So that means whenever it says Ani Hashem, that means God has to do it himself. Says the Parshas Drachim, what do we know about Tchias HaMesim? It's one of the three keys that God retains sole possession of. How do I know? The Gemara in Tainus quotes the following pasuk. Look at the last Maramakam on the sheet. Number 36. When Yechezkel went to revive the dead, so God said to him, these bones are Klal Yisrael. They say our bones are dry. We lost all hope. You know why we lost all hope? Because we're Avadim and God sold us. No! L'chein hinovim aradam koyomar Hashem Elohim ani poiseach es kivroiseichem. Why? Vidatem ki ani Hashem! Says the Parshas Drachim. If just like by Mitzrayim it says ani Hashem and therefore Hashem couldn't send a malach and a shliach, Hashem did it himself, then the same thing by Tchias HaMeisim. It's one of the three keys that God retains sole possession of. And it says ani Hashem, so God has to do it himself. So listen to this. The Jews in the time of Nebuchadnezzar said what? We're avodim to Hashem, and God sold us, so our relationship is terminated. So how is God going to prove that we're still banim Hashem? Chiyas HaMesim. So you say, well, how does that prove anything? Maybe God will send a shliach. No, it says ani Hashem by Chiyas HaMesim. So God did it himself. So what does God resurrecting a yid demonstrate? That what are we to Hashem? Banim! The proof, Banim Atem Hashem Alekechem, is the fact that the Ribbon Shalom revived the dead in time of Nebuchadnezzar. So who does the Ribbon Shalom need to revive to prove that we're all Banim? If he's going to revive the Tzadikim, all that shows that those who are Oysen Ritzon Hashem Makayim are Banim Lashem. So Ribbon Shalom specifically has to revive the Rishayim, who don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, and cover the Heichal and Shkatzim and Ramasim, and have no Lachluchas of Mitzvah. And even so, the Ribbono Shel Olam revives them personally. How could the Ribbono Shel Olam revive personally? But they're his Avodim. Is a Raya Toshitas Rav Meir, Ben Kachu, Ben Kach Nekron Banim. Therefore, says the Parshas Drachim, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to say, all hope is lost, our relationship with God has terminated, God said, the same way when I buried Moshe, why? How could Hashem bury Moshe, Tosa says, but Ribbono Shel Olam's a Kohen, because Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, Ribbono Shel Olam demonstrated that every single Jew, no matter how low they fall, has a din Banim Hashem. Marv Rabbeisai, can we suggest, Shabbos, Emirat Hashem is Rosh Chodesh Elul. What process do we begin the Shabbos? Tshuva. What's tshuva analogous to? Tchias HaMesim. What miracle do we all experience on Rosh Hashanah? Tchias HaMesim. What bracha do we have in mind to do tshuva in? Tchiyas HaMesem. What bracha do we say when we see someone after Rosh Hashanah? Tchiyas HaMesem. But I have a kasha, Rabbi Yisai. Hashem is going to be mechayei us. But if we're mesem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a kohen. The answer is, that's why Chazal made sure that as we begin the process of Tchiyas HaMesem, we read Parshas Re'eh and we get one thing straight. That if you have any questions how this process works, the answer is Banim Atem Hashem Elikim. That's rule number one. Now you have nothing to worry about. If you think you're not eligible, if you think your Banim Hashem will only bury a Moshe Rabbeinu or revivify the worthy, no. Banim Atem Hashem. That's the Hakdama to the Chodesh Elul, to the 40 days of Tchiyas HaMesem that begins Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's the mechanism of tshuva. The mechanism of tshuva is the process of Tchiyas HaMesem, which is fueled by the concept Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. I'm not done, yeah? One more thing, yeah? So I want to say one. I hope it's a nice chiddush. Look at number 35. In what context is Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem written? In the context of don't mourn excessively for a mess. Says you're the children of God. Don't gash yourself if you lose a close relative. Don't rip out your hair. You're a holy people. So why should you not mourn excessively? Because you're children of Hashem. What does one thing have to do with the other? So the Rishonim learn, you're children of Hashem, so the mess is in Olam Haba, so he's in a good place, so don't worry about him. But perhaps we could say no. The Torah is giving the relative the biggest nechama. What's the biggest nechama you could give a relative? That the mess is in Olam Haba? Yeah, but I missed the mess. I'm never going to see the mess again. What's the fullest nechama? That one day you'll see the mess again. How's that? There's going to be Tchiyas HaMesem. So the Torah says like this, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. You're all children of Hashem. And if you're all children of Hashem, you have nothing to worry about. The Ribbono Shel Olam, even though he's a Kohen, he's going to be Mechayei Mesem. And therefore, but this is the aside. The concept of tshuva is the resurrection of our neshamais. And as we begin the 40 days of Elul, we're trying not to renegotiate the lease, not to reinstate our lives, but we're trying to negotiate another year of life, another year of Hashem's chesed, another year of Hashem's hatava, and the opportunity to recreate ourselves spiritually, to be zoicha, to the process of tshuva, which is also a key that only the Ribbono Shel Olam has control of. So we should all be zoicha to this great phenomenon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Umi Doimelach, which is the power of Tchiyas HaMesem and the power of tshuva. Rabbi Say, thanks for coming. Have a great night. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.